Browns are going empty. Whedon on the shotgun for the 46. Movement from Detroit. Whedon's going to throw the fade. Gordon got it inside the 10. Inside the 10, made the grab and stepped out of bounds at the 8-yard line. They went to work on Ron Bartel. That back shoulder fade, Doug Deacon, and Whedon floated it into the wide receiver's arms beautifully.
Michael Reguy with the call from last night's game, Browns 24, Lions 6. And on this Football Friday, it's Vic Carucci and Gerard Cherry talking about that and talking about it with you. Let's go to Jason in Barberton. Hey, Jason.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing great. What's up?
No, not much. Hey, I was talking to your call screener, and I was making a point to him. I like what's going on with the team and this coaching staff. They know what they're doing. And I was telling him, I said, Tom Hecker doesn't get enough credit for the job he did the 2 years that he was here, because he made the team attractive for North Turner and for Chud to come. They had to address the talent pool before they took the job. And I think that Tom Hecker's drafts are starting to show, because he did draft a lot of versatile players and a lot of good players.
That's a fair point, Jason, and thank you for the call, because that was talked about when by Joe Banner and others, Jimmy Haslam, when they first came into right. taking things over, about having something to work with here, at least as a base. Again, we'll see how far it goes, but it is encouraging to at least see some. You have to start somewhere, and I think there is a starting point. I don't think all of the answers are in that draft, but some of them could be. And again, how does it play out? We're seeing the needle move in the right direction on some of these picks that came in with the previous administration, in terms of Brandon Whedon, in terms of Josh Gordon, in terms of Jordan Cameron. But let's see what the sustainability is. And again, the way this organization is approaching it now, it's finding those other parts that elevate it. They spent most of this offseason enhancing the defensive side. You know the offense is going to get more love as it goes forward.
Right, give Tom Hecker credit, because he did find some valuable players, and as it appears, some guys that can play in the league. At the same time, it's also an indictment on what took place last year and the years previous, because those same guys are not having that same level of success. Now, could you say because now they have more experience? That could be the case, and that'd be a fair argument as well. But when you look at the product out there, you say to yourself, wow, it is night and day. What happens when you have a quarterback and offense that fits his skill set?
Yeah, it's night and day. So what you're saying is coaching is helping to get more out of these guys in addition to the experience.
Right, and I don't want to take shots at the last administration, and don't take this the wrong way, but if anything, why weren't you doing these same things? Why did you have to do it your way and not have it in Brandon Whedon's situation where he could succeed?
I got an answer for that. It's not meant to be a justification. It's just an answer. Mm-hmm. I think coaches and systems stay married. You marry a system as a coach, and the only way you really get divorced from that, generally speaking, is when you're no longer coaching.
Right.
If you're in the league coaching, you are carrying that partner that is the playbook that you know, that you've built. And I've spent a lot of time researching this and being around coaches and watching the creatures they are of mm-hmm. habit. But it's building it's not unlike a college professor. You're building that knowledge that you've had and put into your curriculum and what you're going to teach, and the textbooks that you write are based upon knowledge you gained from other professors and other schools of thought. And this is, I know this is maybe way overplaying it for coaching, but I think there's a lot of truth to that. If you ask any coach who's been around this long enough, when he goes back into his files, he will show you, North Turner can show you what Ernie Zampezi right. taught him from years ago and how that thread runs through. With Pat Shurmur, that thread ran through a line that started all the way back with Bill Walsh and that offense, but it took a lot of turns and curves. And when Andy Reid kind of turned it into what he wanted it to be, it was really different than what Mike Holmgren wanted it to be. You had a disconnect there for sure. But then when it came to trying to make that fit with Brandon Whedon, we know it didn't. But for him to turn around and start doing it the North Turner way, that Shurmur, he was the wrong guy to do that.
Right.
That it was not going to happen.
Right.
He only coached what he knew.
Right.
And there you had a problem.
And the thing is, how players perceive it is, this guy's trying to save his job. I forced this on us by not doing what we can do. Because you're right. If you have a system, you got a way of doing things, you're going to run it because that's all you know. At the same time, call plays to help me out. And that's one of the things that we saw last year. But let's not talk about last year.
No.
Let's celebrate what took place last night.
Yes, there you go. I'm with that. Let's hear, by the way, what Rob Chudzinski had to say about Brandon Weeden's performance.
Yeah, I was pleased. You know, again, at first glance, he was efficient out there, accurate, had a couple really nice throws where he was able to get in into some tight areas. You look comfortable out there.
Look comfortable out there is my biggest takeaway from that observation. He's measuring his words, as he should, as a coach does, because he's watching from the sideline. He's got a lot of different thoughts, I'm sure, and deeper thoughts. I'm not sure that he would share all of them, by the way, publicly.
Please don't.
But he won't. Based on watching tape, watching video all morning long, in all likelihood, he probably started that last night. But now he's got a deeper understanding, I think, of what Weeden did, and has a better grasp on it than he would immediately after a game. Let's go 216-578-0850. We will go to Phil in Cleveland. Hey, Phil.
Hi, Vic. Hey, Gerard.
Hey.
Vic, I really enjoy your work, and Gerard, I really enjoy your what you say about what's going on. I can tell you that I followed this team more than any other year, and for most Browns fans. I've been to three preseason, and I'm going on Sunday also. And I honestly really believe things have changed in the locker room. And I'd be interested, Gerard, what you see about that. I remember your comment about saying they want to change this team, they need to change the locker room, and even go as far as to say they need to change the way the locker room is set up. But when I watch Rob Chudzinski, I see a calmness there. And I think that at the end of the day, these are all athletes. And I think people forget that, you know, they may be making millions, but they need to respect the people they're taking direction from. So I'd be interested if you believe that the locker room has changed, as I do.
Yeah, and you bring a good point, because one thing that Pat ran in trouble with last year, and I think it was no fault of his own, was that I don't think he was perceived as the leader. I thought it was always perceived as Mike Holmgren being the de facto owner and de facto coach, because you still have players calling him coach and addressing Pat as Pat when Pat was the head coach. And with Rod, what you see is the respect. You see the, hey, it stops here. Granted, he has two great offensive and defensive coordinators beside him, but he's still respected in that light as a coach, and he commands that from his players. And one of the other things you see too, I talked about it earlier, is that when Ndamukong Suh did his deal on Brandon Weeden, you saw his teammates having his back. It wasn't him all alone, like it was for Jake Delhomme when he got body slammed. And that's a telltale sign as well that this team is coming together. And watch other little interactions as well, how these guys are having fun. Now granted, when you're winning, you're having fun. But when you see stories and hear stories of guys asking for advice to the younger players from a Joe Hayden or a Obanaya telling Barkevis Mingo, here's a better way to beat and defeat this block, those are signs that you have a team coming together.
Hey, Cleveland Browns single game tickets are on sale now. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium for Browns football. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 1-800-745-3000 today. It is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We'll get to more of your comments and questions on this Feel Good Friday edition. Vic Carucci, Gerard Cherry, ESPN 850 WKNR.